Hare Krishna. The point of the world is to point beyond the world. When we see the distress, to death, the destruction that characterize the world, we see this in terrorist attacks, in wars, in natural calamities, in various kinds of torments that plague this world. At that time, we may get the question, what is the point of the world? What is the point? You know, we live, we hope, we dream, and suddenly, everything is destroyed. And there is so much misery even before that final destruction. What is the point of the world? Is it all pointless? And yet, if we look at the world, another feature of the world, we see that in nature there is so much beauty. There is so much artistry. There is so much majesty. The way the birds chirp and fly in the sky, the way the flowers blossom, the way nature is arranged in such magnificent symbiotic arrangements and ecological balances, we cannot but say, oh, this is so wonderful. How can it all be pointless? It cannot be. So Gita wisdom agrees with us that the world is not pointless. But we have to understand the point of the world carefully by looking at both its beauty and its misery. If we miss this point of the world, which is to point beyond the world, if we look only at its misery or only at its beauty. If we look only at the misery of the world, we become gloomy, pessimistic, cynical, thinking that there is no happiness for us in life. And we feel life itself is not worth living. This is a very pessimistic and unfortunate attitude. On the other hand, if we look only at the beauty of this world, we start thinking, oh, this world is so beautiful. It is a place where I can enjoy, if I can just make some adjustments. This hope of becoming happy in this world will be dashed by the inevitable temporality of the world. Inevitable temporality means everything in this world is temporary. We become attached to something and then it loses its beauty and it even goes out of existence after some time. Then we feel heartbroken by that. The attachment gets smashed, and the more we hope for happiness through the things of this world, the more we get frustration when those things go away. So if we look at both together, then we will get a proper understanding. Looking at the misery of the world within this holistic worldview will help us understand that, okay, I cannot get happiness in this world. But looking at the beauty of the world, we can infer such beautiful, artistic, majestic things could not have come by themselves. There must be a super intelligent designer who made these things. And naturally, the curiosity will awaken. Who is that being who has made all this? Who is the supreme artist? Who is the supreme creator? I would like to know him. Then if we turn towards scripture, scripture will complement our inference about a supremely intelligent designer. And Gita wisdom reveals to us an all-attractive, all-loving supreme being, Krishna. And the Bhagavad Gita 10.41 says, Yad yad vibhuti mat sattvam shri madurjitam evava tatta devava gacchattvam mama tejo amsha sambhava. Mama tejo amsha sambhava. That mama tejo amsha. That all opulent, beautiful and glorious creations spring from but a spark of my splendor, Krishna says. So, whatever we see in this world, its beauty, is it real? Yes, it is real because it comes from the supreme reality, that is Krishna. The scripture helps us to understand that when we look at the beauty of the world, we shouldn't have a pessimistic attitude or rejecting it all as false. Nor should we have a utopianly optimistic attitude, thinking, oh, this will give me enjoyment. Say, okay, this is there. And this is a pointer, a reminder towards the supreme beauty of Krishna. When, in this way, we look at the beautiful things of this world and we increase our remembrance of Krishna, naturally, our devotion to Krishna will increase. And not only that, will our devotion to Krishna increase by remembrance of Krishna, but we also understand that whatever abilities we have, they are also manifestations of Krishna's opulence, a spark of Krishna's opulence, and they are also real in the sense that we have them by Krishna's grace and we are meant to use them. What is the best use? The best use is to express our love for Krishna and thereby revive our dormant Krishna prema. So Bhakti Yoga offers us a systematic method for using the things of this world in Krishna's service and for using our own talents to engage those things in Krishna's service. And in this way, as our love becomes more and more revived, then because Krishna is eternal, because Krishna is all attractive, because Krishna is supremely loving, when we offer our love to Him, that gives the supreme fulfillment to our own heart. Because that love goes on eternally and Krishna, by manifesting His presence in our heart, fills our heart with satisfaction. The supreme fulfillment. And this fulfillment doesn't come only when we go back to Krishna, but rather bhakti enables us to experience glimpses of that fulfillment even in this world. Because when we engage the things in Krishna's service and when we engage our talents in Krishna's service, then that connects us with Krishna and that connection is the source of supreme happiness. As we start relishing this happiness more and more in this world, then we understand the point of the world. It is the purpose of the world is not as a provider of material pleasure, but it is a pointer toward the supreme lover and the supreme pleasure giver, who is forever inviting us back to His eternal world of love and who has provided this world as an arena for transforming our heart and marching back to Him. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.